I'm sitting here with Rocky Laca. He is the principal technology evangelist for Magenic. He is the author of CSLA.net, one of the most widely used frameworks for Microsoft.net, and the author of many books, including Expert 2008 Business Objects. Welcome, Rocky.
Good to be here.
Good to see you. So you're at TechEd 2010, and you're talking about patterns, and in particular, model view, view model, MVVM, which is gaining a lot of steam and a lot of attention. But before we dig into that, why patterns? Why should we be focused on pattern-driven design and development?
Well, I think patterns are important on a couple different levels. To my mind, probably the most valuable piece or aspect of patterns, and this may surprise people, is I think the biggest thing they do is give us a common language to discuss complicated issues. So you can say, I want to use the memento pattern, or I want to use the dependency injection pattern, and at least at some level, everybody knows what you're talking about. Whether they're doing Java or C++ or C# or VB, doesn't matter.
Right.
There's a broad conceptual idea. And it short circuits a lot of, otherwise you and I could sit down and say, hey, yeah, we've got this problem, right? And we need to talk across the network, and we need to be somehow independent of how we talk, what protocols and et cetera, and we could spend many minutes describing a problem and a possible solution, whereas we can short-circuit that by saying, you know, I think we should use the channel adapter pattern,
right,
because that's going to solve our problem. And then,
and we both know what we both means.
Yeah. Now you might implement it differently than I do,
right?
Because patterns, you know, people often confuse patterns with an actual like framework or implementation, which they're not. They're just a concept,
right,
an idea. But it's a shared idea,
right?
And that to me is the, probably the single biggest value that we should be looking to get out of patterns. Now, I do think that inside of a given technology context, then you actually can have implementations of a pattern. So you might have an implementation of channel adapter within your organization, or maybe even in .NET, although that's pretty broad.
Right.
But in your organization, you might say, you know, we've established a pattern or an implementation of this pattern that is useful to us, and now it within our organization ends up with even deeper meaning. When I say, well, channel adapter, you're not only thinking of the big picture pattern that anybody would think of, but you're thinking of our channel adapter and the cool stuff that it's doing for us. And so it drives it down.
Excellent. So patterns becomes that common design language before you get to implementation. This allows us to get on the same page. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that is the right way to solve it.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
Now you've done a lot of work over the years in helping developers and architects use best practices to do, you know, layered architecture and separation of concerns. Obviously, you've done a lot of work in the area of patterns. How are those two things related, patterns and properly layered architecture?
Well, at a high level, patterns are a way of capturing experience around things that work. Or, of course, there's the anti-patterns book, which is a way of capturing experience around things that didn't work. we'll stick with the good side.
Okay.
But architecture also is a way of capturing things that work, or identifying things that work and choosing them. And to my mind, architecture has a great deal to do with cutting out things more than it does adding things in. If you sit down with .NET, how many ways are there to talk across the network, to talk to your database, to go to the user interface, right?
Many choices,
which is a strength of the pattern,
right,
or of the platform, right?
Right.
But it's also arguably a weakness because, I would like you to build an order entry system, and I don't want you to spend the next month deciding which technologies, to choose, and then we're going to add another developer to the team. And I don't want them to argue with all of our choices.
Right.
So architecture, in a very pragmatic sense, is about sitting down and deciding, you know what, when we build line-of-business type apps, here's how we're going to do it. And some other organization might make different choices, but in our organization, this is our architecture, right, and these are the choices we've made. Now, one would hope that the choices that we've made for our architecture follow some best practices, incorporate design patterns where appropriate. And so I think these things dovetail together.
Right.
Ultimately, if you've got a good architecture, almost by definition, you will either be using or enabling the use of important design patterns that support it. And of course, I'm a strong believer in separation of concerns between different layers of your application.
Yes.
And have been for, many, many, many years now. And I think that's critical, partially because that enables the use of patterns at each layer. But more importantly, it enables practical reuse. People get all excited about reusing this and that and the other thing, but ultimately, things like your UI are almost never going to be reused because, give it another couple, 3 years and some new UI technology will show up. And,
absolutely.
We're all going to be building Etch-a-Sketch-based apps or whatever. But your business process doesn't usually change all that much, and your data doesn't change all that much just because some new technology showed up. And so layering your application gives you the opportunity to give some level of consistency and, if I invested several months of effort in building this business process, workflow, set of objects, whatever, just because I switch from web pages to Silverlight or from Silverlight to a phone or whatever, it probably doesn't have a huge impact, and layering lets me preserve that.
What strikes me about it is that you boil it all down, it's about communicating. It's about communication. The architect is communicating, here's how we're going to build, and as you said earlier, patterns is the becomes a common way to say, here's how we're going to solve a particular problem. Mm-hmm. You boil it all down, these become just the tools of how we all communicate and get on the same page and drive towards a successful project.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you look back over the years from linear programming to modular, procedural, object components, all these different things, ultimately have a lot to do with the idea, if we switch to procedural programming, we can communicate better with our users because they think about doing things.
Right.
And if our programs are thinking about doing things, right, well, we tried that. And then our users think about things, right, and objects are things. And but now I think we've gotten to the point where it's not just communicating with the user. Our technology platforms are so complex and so diverse today that it's even hard to communicate with each other.
Right.
Sit and have lunch with some Ruby or PHP guys, and they almost don't even speak the same language.
Right.
The .NET people or Java people
like
do.
Visiting another country.
It really is. Except if you start talking about patterns.
Right.
Because to them, even though they might have a radically different implementation of MVC, it still means the same thing.
Right.
And so it's an interesting puzzle.
Right. So as I said earlier, you're here in New Orleans to talk about MVVM. Now, that's an evolution of Model View Controller. And that pattern was pretty well understood. It was originally documented in the Gang of Four's design pattern book many years ago. How has MVC evolved to MVVM? What's different? What's the same? And let's start there.
I think evolved. They're in the same family. I'm not entirely convinced that it's an evolution.
Okay.
And the reason I'm cautious about that is because that could lead people to think, well, I'm doing MVC. Maybe I better switch to MVVM, which isn't necessarily true.
Okay.
MVC turns out to be a really compelling pattern for essentially non-interactive applications, web apps and things where the user gets to interact and then with a bunch of information and then send it as a chunk back to a controller, and then we can do a bunch of processing. It's possible to make MVC work in a highly interactive, like a Windows Forms or WPF or Silverlight app. But there's a pretty fundamentally different characteristic here, because if I'm creating a smart client app, as the user tabs off each field, or maybe even as they press each key, I want to activate something. I want to run some code. And so while it's possible to invoke the controller on every keystroke, that's usually not the way people think about the pattern.
Okay.
And
that's a good distinction. I like that.
And again, I'm not saying it can't work. I'm just saying it's not the way most people think about it. MVVM, conversely, is coming at this, at least the way I've been exploring it, is primarily through XAML.
Right.
And saying, well, XAML is a smart client technology. And Silverlight WPF doesn't matter.
Right.
Ultimately, as the user tabs off each field, we're expecting that that's going to, data binding will take that value and give it back into something, the model, whatever we're bound
right.
to.
Right.
And so we need a pattern that is from the ground up thought out to support this idea of highly interactive, continual events flowing both directions between the view and whatever it's bound to. And so then you say, okay, well, that's, you could make MVC do that, but it's not great. So then that's one issue. And then the other issue that we run into is in your typical scenario, especially with Silverlight, for instance, I'm going to add a service reference. And the service reference is Visual Studio is going to create a bunch of code, some proxy code.
Right.
And the shape of that proxy object may or may not particularly match my user interface. And so now we've got a mismatch between the view and its expectations and essentially our model. Because we often don't control the model, right?
Right,
the service software.
There's a problem that's been around for many years, too, right?
It's, yeah, not new.
Not a new model.
And so you say, well, how do I reshape the model?
Right.
And I honestly think there's a couple different answers to that. But one is that you construct this object in the middle that we'll call a view model, or a view over the model. And it exposes the properties the view cares about and delegates down into the model. It basically can act as a buffer zone.
Okay.
And then this buffer zone gives us the right shape. It can support all of the data binding interfaces and behaviors. So now we can get this great interactivity between the view and the view model, very immediate, back and forth in a way that's rich and powerful. And we've abstracted the model with a intermediate layer.
Well, now it makes sense why model view view model is getting all the attention that it's getting with the rise in the development of rich applications. Certainly, Silverlight is getting a lot of attention, whether it's resident in SharePoint or in the browser on the Windows Phone, which is soon to be released. And a lot of developers are focusing on that now. So that's a great distinction, and I like that explanation. So where would folks go to start to learn about MVVM and dig into it and start to leverage it in their rich application development?
Well, there is a challenge here in that MVVM it's actually been around for years, but it's only become popular in the last maybe two. MVC has been around, like you said, for what, maybe 15, 17 years. And it took it years before it kind of hit mainstream and there were books. Well, I don't know that there are any books on MVVM out just yet, or if there are, they're just coming out. So right now I think the web is the answer. Josh Holmes has got some great information.
Right.
I've got some good information on my blog.
Well, I'll make sure we point the readers to those locations.
Great.
All right, Rocky, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.